the greatest little show on earth. Before me flees of nostalgia. Roll up, roll up.
Oh, lower me down. It's Alfred Nuthatch.
Do you mind? The great Alfredo.
Here, don't you recognize me? Herbert Fitch.
Of course, Herbert. It's ages since we last seen each other.
Oh, say, you were a traveling salesman then. What's all this?
Well, since 1956, I've been running a flea circus.
That is an excerpt from The 7-Year Itch. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Percy Flarge, Capuchin Higgins, the Savile Row Whistle and Flute Ensemble, Miss Deirdre Dispatch.
She sends me.
To continue, Dame Sybil Eckberg. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horn, whose name is a household word, but guess which part of the house. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horn.
Hello and welcome to Beyond Our Ken. And for the benefit of our many listeners in Australia, Ken are beyond to welcome and hello. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I revisited the London Zoo, popped into the parrot house to chat up a couple of birds. And I must say, one of those parrots told me some very funny vicar stories. Well, on Tuesday, I was selling off one or two old bits of furniture in exchange for some new pieces. And the person who came to talk over the deal turned out to be a very attractive blonde. Well, everything went quite well until we came to one piece, and this lady turned to me and said,
"I'm sorry, Mr. Horn, I can't allow anything on the couch."
Which was rather a pity, really. On Thursday, I went into the chemist to get a hairnet when a chap came in and said to the assistant, "Could I have a bottle of monoacetic acetyl salicylic acid?" So the assistant said, "Do you mean aspirin?" And the chap said, "Yes, that's right. I never can remember the name." Which brings us to our Hornorama feature.
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
A food fair opened in London recently, and with us tonight is one of the visitors picked at random. How do you do, sir?
Thank very well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for asking.
Not at all, not. Well, we couldn't get any more at random than this, could we? Now, tell us, sir, I believe you know quite a bit about the gastronomic art.
Oh, yes, I've had a touch of it now and again. Very nasty.
Yeah, no, sir, I meant...
All round.
I meant, well...
All round, I
good...
Eh?
Good eating.
Oh, yes, that's what causes it, yes. Right here, I get...
All right. Let's put it another way.
Oh, I'd rather you didn't.
Well, let me say this then, sir. Do you think that food is important?
Not all that important. I mean, we can do without it. I remember once I went without food for 35 days.
How long?
35 days.
Well, that's a long time. Why was that?
I couldn't get hold of the waiter.
Yes.
I mean, I paid my money like the rest of them, didn't I? Why can't I have...
Thank you, sir, very much indeed. In a statement the other day, the coal board announced that it hoped to meet the demands made for coal in the winter months. As we sit by our fires, let us remember those men who worked so arduously to provide our coal, the miners.
Hey, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
Shan't be a minute. There. And I see him straight.
Dolly Rodgers, you make a first-class coal miner.
Thank you, Charles.
Sure.
I wish the others thought so, too. They keep giving me such a black look.
Oh, take notice, Roger. They're jealous just because you've got a special damp.
She's rather swish, isn't it? And she just adores the way the light keeps changing colour.
Yes. What a novel idea to have it set in a Chianti bottle. Mm. Say, what do you think of my new trousers?
Oh, rather. Lovely. They're such a dinky shade of walnut brown.
Mm, I call them my nutty slacks.
Oh, you are an old pit-faced wag.
I say, Rob.
Yes?
Someone asked me if I was married the other day.
No!
Guess what I said?
I know, I do. What is that?
Because I can't get married. I'm a minor.
Oh, brilliant, Charles.
Yes, I thought so.
You do come out with them, don't you?
Well, I suppose we better get the drill going through this last section.
Yes, right. Here we go.
There. Ah, we're through.
Yeah, this doesn't look like the other shaft.
No. Where on earth are we?
Quick, run for it. We're on the Malden Edgeware line.
Brings us once again to our panel of experts. Top of the table, our comical friend, Hanky Flowers.
Yes, what's been so comical? Yes. No, well, I said to this chap, you'll see. I said, if you want to go round in Wellington Booth, that's your business, I said. Oh, it's funny fella. No, well, you'll see, some people are funny. You all meet some funny people, don't you? And there was a chap outside this studio this morning begging, and he was holding out two hats. I said to him, what have you got two hats for? And you know what he said? He said, business is so good, I've opened up a branch office. He's very old, you know. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so was the joke, wasn't it? Next, we welcome the king of the top 10 charts, Ricky Livid.
Hello, now. I hope you'll be buying my new EP. I'll be testing you tonight on the one side, and I'll get a kick out of you on the back side.
Now it's my pleasure to welcome back to the panel our very old friend, Fanny Haddock.
Hello there, my darling people. I'm delighted to be back after a long spell in the kitchen. I've also been busy writing a book which is published this month, and it's called 101 Things to Do with a Cucumber.
Yes, well, we won't ask what the odd one is, will we? Finally, a whiff of the farm from our evergreen panelist, Arthur Fallowfield.
Yes, well, I don't have very much to say this week, except a word of advice. In this cold, damp weather, never leave your rotary hoe out. No, I mean, it'll get all rusty and what.
Thank you, Arthur. Well, that's our panel, and this week it's a question of censorship. Should certain books be banned? Now, the panel has been reading the new novel, The Scarlet Woman of Chalfont St. Giles. All right, now, members of the panel, if you've finished the distasteful task of reading this... Put the books down and listen to me. Now, what effect do you think this book could have on young, immature minds?
Well, I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's got everything in it, and a bit more besides, and it's real. It's what I like about it. It's real people doing real things.
Yes, we'll say that again, yes. I thought it was possibly disgusting. No, I mean, I should hate to think my grandmother would read it. No, poor old soul, she'd go right off, you know. Oh, she would. No, you see, she's led a very sheltered life as granny. Do you know she was 38 before she read the men's section of a laundry list?
Yes. Yeah, well, I still think it's okay for all the family. Of course, I realise there's a lot of suggestive four-letter words, like, vest. I mean, that's life, isn't it?
Yeah. All right now, Fanny Haddock.
Well, I think it's disgraceful.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Please, I certainly would be ashamed of my sex if I thought we really behaved like this.
For a chance, that'd be a fine thing for you.
Please, would you allow me to say something? I mean, you see, the heroine in this book does things that would make my apple turnover. Of course, my darlings, it should be banned. The young woman of today wants to learn about useful, instructive things. She wants to be able to cook and sew and darn and wash. What more can any man want?
Nothing, unless he has an evil mind.
And our fellow fear.
Well, I've never heard such a load of twaddle in all my life. Here we have a perfectly innocent, innocuous book, which I've read half a dozen times. Yes, I have, and they want to ban it. Why? What's wrong with it? I'll read you a bit out. Now, listen to this.
No, I don't think you're better.
No, it's quite harmless. Just listen to this. His hand slid down from her shoulder and grasped the thin shot silk of her umbrella. Oh, Myrtle, he said. How I love spending these Saturdays with you, Myrtle. The girl looked up at him and with a faint wisp of a smile replied, it's Thursday and I'm Gladys. Well, now, I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love. And if I ever met the Scarlet Woman of Chalfont St. Giles, well, I don't mind.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, the panel seem to be divided over this book, but I'm sure they'd all agree about one thing, the talent of our very own Fraser Hayes Fall.
Would you like to swing on a star, carry new leaves home in a jar? You'd be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish is an animal that swims in a brook. It can't write its name or read a book.
To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught. Still, if that kind of life is what you wish,
you may grow up to be a fish.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar? You'd be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a mule?
A mule? Well, can that be so bad?
A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school,
you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar? You'd be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal.
He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
And if you don't care a feather or a pig,
you may grow up to be a pig.
Now all the monkeys don't reside in the zoo every day. You know, you see quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. You may be better than you are.
So to our drama of the week, and this week it's a thrilling seafaring story.
Yes, here is a tale of stirring adventure in the historical tradition of great British sailors like Nelson, Hood, Raleigh, Jack Hawkins.
Stand by then as we pay tribute to the one and only Sir Francis Drake, that heroic sea captain of the 16th century. Yes, indeed, those were the days of daring do.
Probably because none of us didn't dare don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Drake's Progress, or, oh dear, what can Armada be?
Well, sir, I think he said, "Hey, you're tired of the middlemouth."
Yes, but what does that mean?
We're feeling seasick. Or it's a terrible storm, sir.
I've just made an entry in the ship's log. 10th day out, man washed overboard. 12th day out, third mate washed overboard. 14th day, half the crew washed overboard.
No, sir, that young overboard be a filthy little devil.
Where's the first mate?
Here I am, Captain Drake.
Where have you been, first mate?
Nowhere, sir. I just popped into the poop, had a peep, and popped out again.
The storm. It's the storm. You'll be worsening, sir. How long can the Golden Hind to take a battering like this?
Courage, men. We are homeward bound at last. Give the orders, first mate.
Aye, aye, sir. Double rip the mainsail, batten all edges, make fast the topsail, avast behind.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing personal.
Oh, good. Look out. Anything to report?
Yes, sir. French ship off the Port Bird.
Are you sure she's a French ship?
Yes, sir. She's flying a postcard.
Oh, well, at least she's friendly, not another Spanish ship. We've done enough battle for this voyage.
Excuse me, sir. Permission to speak.
Permission granted,
I was just wondering, sir, where is your sword gone?
I do not possess one.
No? Then what was that cutlass I saw you with last
night?
That
was no cutlass. That was my knife.
I don't wish to know that kind of evil breeze.
Silence, you scurvy knave.
I know, sir. That medicated shampoo works wonders.
Bosun?
Yes, sir.
The 16th century equivalent of belt up.
Sorry, sir.
Yes, you do well to go red of face.
Oh, that's not me, sir. It's the storm. The rain's washed the red dye out of me hat. I'm marooned. I am marooned, do you hear? We're all marooned. It's no use being marooned. That's what we are, we're marooned. We're all marooned, you hear? I can't stand being marooned. No, that's as we are. Marooned, we're marooned. It's hopeless. We're marooned. Marooned. Marooned.
I think he's trying to tell us something.
All right, now listen, man. Men, listen carefully. You've sailed under me on many voyages, and I think you'll agree I've always been honest with you.
I have, true.
We may have had our differences, but I've always tried to see everyone's point of view. And in times of stress like this, I've always given you the facts fair and square.
And what are the facts, Captain?
We're marooned.
I don't want to be marooned.
Be of stout heart. The Golden Hind has bravely borne the mountainous seas and weathered the storms, and even now, as she nears her home port, see how proudly she rides the waves. See how the great sail bellies out in the wind.
What was that last bit again, sir?
Bellies out in the wind.
You know, give some funny orders on this.
Sir, we cannot be far from land.
No, Bosun, we are but a few nautical miles away.
Nautical miles?
Nuts to you.
And nuts to you.
Bosun, any more mutinous remarks and you shall be cast away on a desert island. No food, no water, just 8 gramophone records.
Captain, I'm sorry to keep on about this, but we really should be in sight of land very soon. I've consulted the charts and set the course, and according to my calculations...
Well, that's where you go wrong. You're always putting the chart before the course. Anyway, I can't help feeling...
Captain, look out!
Land ahoy!
Now he tells us.
Well, at last, we're home. After 3 years at sea, you shall be reunited with your loved ones.
I know. I've got to go home to the wife.
Till we sail again, let me repeat the message which I gave you all at Panama. A very happy Isthmus.
Pray silence for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth I.
Yes. I am the great Queen Elizabeth, and the first one who says you could have fooled me gets clapped into the tower. How proud I am of my brave sea captains, and what discoveries they've made. Mind you, I'm a bit annoyed with Raleigh. You can smoke it, he said. Light it and smoke it, he said. But there's me been puffing away at a potato for months. But Drake was always my favorite. As soon as I learnt of his return, I summoned him to court.
Captain Drake, Your Majesty.
Enter, Captain Drake.
Your Majesty.
Captain Drake, while it is proper to doff your cap in the presence of your queen, please refrain from waving that dirty great feather from under my nose.
A thousand pardons, ma'am.
Now then. I have here a full report of all your doings in foreign ports.
Oh, dear, and I distinctly told the writer of the ship's log not a word to good Queen Bess about this.
I did not mean that, Francis. But come to think of it, you are the amorous one, aren't you, Drake? What about my lady in waiting?
True, Your Majesty. I'm afraid she is no longer in waiting.
She's no longer a lady either.
It was a mistake, Your Majesty. When we chanced upon each other, she invited me to take a pinch.
So?
How was I to know she meant snuff?
All right, you are forgiven. Now, I hear that without thought for your personal safety, you sailed straight up the Spanish Main.
Yes, ma'am. Mind you, the waterboard authorities were livid about it.
Nevertheless, you captured many Spanish treasures, and what's more, discovered a vast and as yet unknown land. It shall be named after you.
Thank you, Your Majesty. You mean something like Drake's Peninsula?
No, I was thinking of Cape Horn. For this, your gallant little ship shall be preserved in recognition.
Thank you, ma'am. It isn't everyone who possesses a Golden Hind.
No, it must be embarrassing for you. And now, yet another honor you deserve. Kneel, Captain Drake. Arise, Sir Francis Drake.
Oh, Your Majesty, How can I ever thank you?
I'll think of something.
You have bestowed a knighthood upon me, and I didn't even give up my safe constituency.
But... but be warned, Sir Francis Drake. England is in great danger, and I am powerless. Would that I were a man. I would needs change my destiny.
You would needs change a few other things as well.
At this very moment, the King of Spain has his fleet in the channel.
Then he shall catch cold.
His fleet, not his feet. A great armada waiting, poised to strike. We must be prepared.
Have no fear, Your Majesty. Sir Francis is ready.
Good. And now the audience is at an end.
Well, you can't really blame them, can you?
Farewell. Good voyaging, Drake.
Good voyaging, Queen.
Yes, Sir Francis Drake's crowning triumph was yet to come. One morning in 1588, he was playing an historic game of bowls on Plymouth Hoe.
Sir Francis, they're coming. Sir Francis, they're coming to you. They're coming. They're coming, I tell you.
All right, all right. Can't you see I'm playing bowls? You're putting me off.
But you don't understand. They're coming, I tell you. They're coming. They're coming. They're... Oh, here. You dropped a bowl on my foot.
That's right. Get out of the way.
But Captain Drake, it's the Spaniards. Hundreds of them. They're all dashing up the channel in dirty great ships doing about 50 miles to the galleon.
That's a bit of an old one.
Yes, but this is 1588. It's the original. Oh, what do we do? We must act quickly, do you hear? We must act.
Yes, about time you learned to do that for a start. Now. There's no need for panic. Just get the crew together, get down to the quay, and wind up the ship. I'll join you when I've finished my game. He was a cool one, all right. And so ridiculously outnumbered, the English Navy put to sea in their little gumboots. Sorry, I'll read that again. The English Navy put to sea in their little gunboats. How gallantly... Just a minute, I've forgotten my daunt.
Well, what's a daunt?
Well, I don't know, but whatever it is, I've forgotten it.
Oh. And so, Sir Francis Drake sailed forth, dauntless.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Lockhart, what is it?
Well, I was up in a crow's nest, and I started to sail to the Spanish ships.
Oh, thank you. Good to feel the spray in my face again. All right, battle stations. Are the crew mustered?
Well, according to some of the girls, they're pretty hot stuff.
Stand by your guns, first mate.
Aye, aye, sir. Master Gunner?
Yeah.
When I give the word, light the breeches.
Right.
Yeah! Not mine, you great seafaring
thing. Oh, we're sorry.
Right. Fire! And again. Broadside!
Fat face.
All right, get on with it. Fire!
Why can't we run out of cannonballs?
Dear, oh dear, hold on. Here! Can we have our cannonballs back? Do I wreck it?
Sir, the mizzen mast.
What about it?
It's mizzen.
Now, don't give up. I've got an idea. I've still got my bowls in my back pocket.
We thought that couldn't be all you.
The cut of these Tudor trousers is a little deceiving. Here you are, fire these.
Right. Master Gunner, fire!
Oh, well bowled, old man.
Captain, there's a galleon coming alongside.
Prepare for hand-to-hand combat.
But, sir, this is dangerous.
So? I've grappled with a Spaniard before.
Ah, but she didn't want to win.
All right, men, whip out your cutlasses. Up and at them.
Look out! Drake! Duck!
Curses, a mist!
So you are Drake.
Yes, and who are you?
A Spanish sea captain.
Really? Well, that pointed beard and rough left around your neck, you look like a goat that stuck his head through a hedge.
When you insulted me, sir, you insult the Spain.
Have it, you.
Yes, untight.
And so the battle raged on.
Oh,
yeah, what are you doing with those swords? Finally, the great Spanish armada was defeated and Drake had saved the day for England.
When the Queen heard the news, she was so jubilant she sang a little song that was to echo round the world.
The name of Spain is plainly down the drain.
And for the gallant sailors, it meant homecoming once more. On the quay, the womenfolk waited. And as the great hero stepped ashore, a group of pretty young girls rushed to greet him.
It was then that the great Drake uttered those immortal words.
Hello, my darling.
Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we'll be bringing you an excerpt from the new film starring Frank Sinatra and called The Matt Munro Story. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Carmarthenshire. Do ghost trains stop at manifestations?
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show, in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Menneman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by John Simmons.